In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, it's getting cold outside, and it's getting a little cozier in our homes, I hope. Thanksgiving is coming this week, and our lectionary is focusing on the end of days. It hardly matches up with the Hallmark Channel holiday lineup that we've got coming this week, but here we go. People have been predicting the end of the world for millennia now. There are some notable apocalyptic predictions in history. One was in the year 66. The Jewish Essenes did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They believed the Messiah was still coming. And they even minted coins in the year 66, believing that was the end of the world. I don't know what they expected to do with their currency at the end of the world, but there you have it. Good morning, come on in. From the year 375 onwards, there have been predictions of the end times. In 1346 to 1351, the Black Death swept across Europe. Many predicted that as the end of the world. Martin Luther, who was a German professor and priest, he actually had an end times prediction for the year 1600. And he was in good company. Christopher Columbus made the same prediction. And then there was Nostradamus. And you all may remember 1999 was Nostradamus's end of times prediction. There are people who thought because there was this, the computers were going to switch to the zeros instead of these nines, that the world was going to go into chaos and it would become the end of days. I guess we're not that far off. And we're still here. So today's scriptures are talking about the end of days. And it's easy for us to hear that as some kind of foretelling that our end is near. My husband always reminds me that when the scholars wrote the Gospel of Mark, they actually did it in the year 70, and the Roman army had besieged and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem the same year that gospel was written. The scripture seems to be prescribing the end somewhere off in the future, but actually, I think they were describing the scene around them 2,000 years ago. Not one stone was left upon another. All was thrown down. The entire temple, the very place where God resided, was destroyed. So often we hear these texts and we think these words are prescribing the end of time. But what if the author of the gospel was simply describing what was happening in their midst? Nation had risen against nation. There had been earthquakes. There had been a major earthquake in Jerusalem in the year 33. There had been a famine during the reign of Claudius from 41 to 54 in the Common Era. Destruction and unrest and uncertainty were a reality of life for the earliest Christians. And yet the gospel actually has Jesus saying, "This is just the beginning. This is not the end." When things get tenuous now in our nation, in our world, it's often that we use our suspicions and our predictions that the end might be near as a shield. If we're being straightforward, I think we have to say that we are living in a time that it would be easy to use scripture as a prescription for us to anticipate the end of days. From all the unrest of this divided nation, and the reports of the scientific community that global warming is threatening to change the world as we know it. There's not much good news, though, in us sitting here and foretelling further divisions and doom and destruction. That's why I get frustrated with the lectionary creators. They take scriptures and they say, "Here's what we're going to read on these days." And they took the scripture from Mark today and they stopped at the 8th verse. It's really important to look forward to what Jesus continues to say in the 13th chapter of Mark. He says, "Here's how you play all this out, all this destruction around you." He essentially says, "Keep speaking up, but don't worry about what you're going to say. When the time comes, say what's on your heart. The Holy Spirit will make his witness in and through you. It's going to be brother killing brother, father killing child, children killing parents. There's no telling who will hate you because of me, Jesus says. But then he says, stay with it. That's what is required. Stay with it to the end. Stay with your faith, and you won't be sorry. You'll be saved. We live in days where it can sometimes feel like the day is approaching. And Jesus doesn't call us to try and guess where and when that day might be. What Jesus calls us to do is to proclaim the good news of the consolation of the Holy Spirit. I wrote a few weeks ago in the Chimes about the spiritual concepts of consolation and desolation. And I think it's worth repeating and thinking through how that spiritual concept is at play in the moments of our life. Because a lot of people have been telling me about experiences of desolation in moments in their lives as of late. See if you relate to this. When you're in a moment of desolation, you turn in on yourself. You're driven down the spiral ever deeper into negative feelings. You are cut off from community. It makes you want to give up on the things that used to be important to you. It takes over the consciousness and drowns out a greater vision, a broader vision, covers up all our landmarks, and man, that drains us of our energy. And when we're in times of desolation, it can feel like, we maybe even hope that the day is approaching, so it'll just be better than it is right now. The letter to the Hebrews today actually gives clear direction on how to be drawn out of desolation. Be in relationship with God through prayer. Seek out companionship. Stand still and remember the bigger picture of your life. Take a longer view. These moments are not the whole story. And don't forget times of consolation. I'll talk about what consolation feels like in a little bit. Then look for someone who needs your help. Turn your attention toward the person who needs some help. And then, as the scripture says, consider how to provoke one another to love and to good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And remember that promise that Jesus gives us, that the Holy Spirit is there to work in us and speak through us. We don't even have to come up with the right words. So consolation. Consolation is the good news when it feels like the world is ending. It's really important to be aware of times when we experience consolation and hold them in our memory. So here's a description of the spiritual assurance of consolation. Consolation directs our focus outside and beyond ourselves. It lifts our hearts so that we can see the joys and sorrows of other people. It bonds us more closely to our human community, generates new inspiration and ideas, restores balance, refreshes our inner vision, shows us where God is alive and active in our lives, shows us where God's leading us, and then we feel this surge of new energy. There have been a lot of moments for me this week that have been moments of consolation serving at Calvary Church. I've had the opportunity to sit in some living rooms of parishioners, sit at coffee and dream about people's futures, share in ideas about possibilities for our church, and be in prayer with several of you in different groups. And then there was a shared experience of consolation last week when Lori Jefferson was baptized as an adult at age 33 here in this place. There was a sense of being drawn together in community, a sense of joy, and that's the kind of stuff we need to hang on to when we are faced with so much desolation in our world today. So when we experience consolation, we should tell God how we're feeling. Thank God. Thank God there are times like these. Store the moment in our memory to return to when things get tough. look at the big picture of our life and add this moment to it. Use the energy we feel to further our deepest desires. Then let the surplus energy fuel the things you don't really want to do. And then do them. And then go back and tell God how you feel again. Thank God again. I'll give you something to take home with you that helps you remember and to notice your reactions, especially in a week like this week where people are in a frenzy to get ready for Thanksgiving, then we're with people or spending time in different places than we do, normally do in our ordinary routines. I don't have an end times prediction for you today. All I have today is the good news that in the midst of what can feel like the end of the world is the hope that comes through believing in the power of the Holy Spirit. The consolation that keeps us going when times get rough, and the way we're transformed by the promise of consolation and reminders that God is present. God is present even in the most desolate times, doing transformational work. So notice this week whether you're experiencing consolation or desolation. And know we have hope in the midst of whatever lies ahead. Amen.